Distress.
Oh, no.
Father, we give you praise. Our reliance, O God, is on you. Lord, we know that there is a natural pace to things. There's a process to things. But we see ourselves, O God, at a point in our lives as your church, as your people, where we are certain we need you to take us at your speed, beyond the natural, supernatural speeds. It is what is needed for us to capture our times and our seasons and see lives transformed. The miraculous happening at speeds, O God, that are beyond the natural. We're asking, O God, that you speedify. You said if we ask, we will receive. We are asking. You said if we seek, we'll find. We are seeking you concerning this matter. You said if we knock, it'll be open to us. Lord, we are knocking. And we're saying, speedify. Take us at a pace, O God, that the enemy cannot match up with. A pace, O God, that the world cannot match up with. Lord, O God, take us at speeds, O God, that are beyond the natural. We ask, O God, that you do this for us. For your name's sake. For the sake of the lost that need to know your power and see your power in action. And for our sakes that we are encouraged. Father, we give you praise for all things and receive the answers we ask for. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to see you all this evening. We are in the 16th chapter, and we tapped a little bit into the 26th verse. And in line with what we're talking about, when we talked about the rest that we have in God, we looked at this verse from one perspective, and today we'll look at it from another perspective. He says, he that laboreth for himself, but in the mind of God, our labor is not just to be for ourselves. For the word of God says to us that our labor is supposed to be for seed. And if it is for seed, and seed is for the sowing, for the giving, then our labor is to produce what we need to release into the lives of others, to bring hope and strength to others. So it's not just about me, myself, and I. Then it says, for his mouth craveth it of him. And as we discuss this subject leading to this, we were differentiating between living in the flesh and living in the realm of the spirit. And if our mouth craveth, if the mouth craveth it of him, then the mobilization and the labor is based on the kind of talk we are engaged in. Now, that's the spiritualized aspect of that particular verse. Now, in the physical, natural perspective of it, it is saying to us that he that laboreth for himself. In other words, and secondly, for his mouth craveth it of him. It's saying to us that people work harder because they are hungry and they want to have their needs met. That's a surface level of that particular verse. Okay, we're working so hard and doing so much more because we're hungry or we don't want to be hungry. Now, that is one level. The Word of God goes beyond that, about working so that you're not hungry, because he tells us that we need not worry about stuff, right? That he takes care of the birds. You know, Matthew 6 tells us that. And so he tells us very clearly, I don't want you living your life just about work. Now, let's balance this. God is not saying don't work. God wants us to work, but work from a position of rest. Amen? Because ultimately, no matter how much you work, your work is not sufficient to address all the things that God has called you to do, at least for most people. Okay, if you're a billionaire, that may be a totally different scenario, but for the normal man and woman, if you're not just living for yourself and you believe that God has called you to accomplish certain things, then you understand that in your own ability, you will not be able to fulfill the mandate that God has over your life, that you need spiritual help. And that part of that spiritual help is connected to your talk, what you're saying from your mouth. And when you see it from that perspective, then you know that God is the one that is helping you. Now, when you don't know that and it is just based on your ability, then you're going to do crazy things just to get ahead. You're going to trample over other people. You're going to lie about stuff. You're going to, you know, shove people, steal, you know, all kinds of craziness just to satisfy yourself. And one thing I've found out in life is this. Things do not satisfy. They don't. If you were thinking, if I only make $1 million, then I'll be happy. Well, when you get $1 million, you'll be happy for a few seconds, maybe a day or two, and then is this all? And you want more, and you want more, and you want more. True satisfaction comes when you are cooperating with God, following through with what God wants done. So your service to God becomes a point of fulfillment, that you know that you're doing the will of God. I'm doing the will of God. You get satisfied with that. Your connectivity with God gets you satisfied. When you're ministering to others and you see their needs being met, you get satisfied. You get happy. Happiness comes for the human, truly comes because they're doing something that's impacting another life positively. That's where it comes from. Every other place, you'll be pursuing it like a hamster, and you're still stuck in this run. You're tired, you're everything, and you still haven't gone anywhere. Still in the same spot. Now, having talked about laboring for himself and how his mouth craved it of him, how this hunger causes him to, or his fear of not being hungry causes him to work. In so doing, anybody that is standing in your way becomes a person that is a called out enemy. And you're going to do everything just to shove people off. But the fact is, after you've shoved everybody off and you finally get whatever it is that you're looking for, there's nobody there to celebrate with you. There's nobody to celebrate with you because you've shoved everybody off. In life, you want to bring everybody in. Now, not everybody's going to celebrate you. In fact, when you get promoted in life, there are so many people that become your enemy because they think you don't deserve it. What makes him deserve that? I should be the one that's in that position. And enemies crawl out of all kinds of places, and sometimes they are not very obvious. Except if you're discerning, then you'll be able to see the person who is really not celebrating with you. See, what God goes on and says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. Why does he dig up evil? He's digging up evil to make sure that you don't make it. So you're busy working so hard to make it. And you have somebody digging up stuff on you just to create an atmosphere of confusion. Somebody who's going to betray you. And who betrays you? It's not somebody who is far away. Traitors are not people that are far away. People who betray you are not far away from you. They're people that know you. They know your history. They know you're going in and you're going out. That's why they're able to betray you. That's how they're able to become traitors. Because they know certain things about you. And ungodly men will dig up evil on you. Why are they addressed as ungodly? It's not necessarily just because they don't know God. Ungodly people are people that know God, that have unknown him. Now, an ungodly person can be in church with you, shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord. But they become ungodly in a particular area in their lives. They may be okay in certain parts, but in other parts, they are not okay. They may be people that are praying with you, crying out to God with you, and all of a sudden you get elevated and they are not. I know of a dear son of mine who is a very close friend to another minister. They went to university together. They did all kinds of things together. And his friend just shot up like that. Boom. Way out there. If I mention his name, quite a few people will know who this guy is. Very well known. He's, you might call him an apostle to the world. Very well known. You mention this guy's name, especially if you're African, you will know him. Oh, wow. But here is his friend that prays just as much as he prays. Very gifted, anointed, capable. And he doesn't carry the same crowds like this guy over here. But they grew up together. But this one loves this one and celebrates him. Celebrates this guy over here. Will fly to wherever that one is going to do ministry. He goes there and supports him. That is not how it happens most times. And that's one of the reasons I respect this one so much, because I see the integrity of God in his life and how authentic he is. You know, and I try to engage him in whatever it is I'm doing as best as I can. You know, showcase him so that people see what he's carrying. Now, some people may say, wait a minute, that guy is very anointed. Why would you want him to be with you? Well, because it's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. I don't care whose name is on the flyer. I don't care who's, you know, the name that is on the stage. As long as it's the Lord. That's the important thing. The Lord be glorified. I have my giftings and abilities in Christ. And God uses me in diverse ways. But God uses other people in different other ways. And we're not here to compete with each other. We're here to complete each other. But when you don't have a kingdom mentality, you're going to go about digging up evil on people. How many ministers are out there digging up stuff on people? And if they cannot find something to dig up, they make up something. Well, before the truth gets around, you know, lies have gone around the world many times. Well, we'll say, well, we're wrong, and print it in little print that nobody can read without a magnifying glass. But meanwhile, bold letters, this guy, blah, 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 digging up evil. And it says, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. Wow. There is fire in the anointing. But the word of God is saying here, there's also burning fire in the mouth of the ungodly person who is busy digging up evil. Not every anointing is God's anointing. Sometimes it's devilish. And how do you know that's not of the right spirit? He says, a froward man soweth strife. If it is generating strife, you know that's the wrong spirit, because the Spirit of God does not generate strife in people. Strife is of the devil. And the Word of God is very clear. A man of God must not strive. But if there's discussion and all of a sudden people are getting angry and violent and talking trash and whatever else, you know there's a wrong spirit. There's a wrong spirit at play. Somebody is busy generating the wrong thing. And it says, and a whisperer separated chief friends. A whisperer separated chief friends. You have to be careful what you listen to, because whatever you listen to is influencing you one way or the other. It may be influencing you positively, or it might influence you negatively. And the agenda of the whisperer is to separate friends. People, and Bible defines as chief friends. Chief friends. So these are buddies. All of a sudden they're going in separate directions because they are no longer united. Strife causes people to be separated. And when it causes people to get separated, it causes them to strive. Instead of resting in God, they start striving to make things happen. That is not the Spirit of God. The other day, I got a call. Actually, it was a text message from somebody from another country. It was telling me about a problem that was happening in a particular setting. I need to check on this. So, okay. So I called, I said, well, what seems to be the situation? They tell me what the situation was. This so-and-so said such and such a thing about such and such a thing. And I said, this doesn't make sense. Because what you're telling me that this person said, they have no way of knowing any of it. Nobody else knows about it except for me. Nobody else knew what I did for such and such a person. So how is it that they are beefing about that, that I did such and such and such? It's not possible. You say, well, they heard it, so and so, and said such and such. And I cross-checked with the person's sibling, and without them knowing that I was going to ask, and they confirmed it. I'm thinking, what's going on here? Because the agenda is for me to think wrongly about this person over here that they're accusing of saying whatever. But I had an ace card. This person doesn't know anything, so they cannot be trying to do anything, or it's not possible that they said such and such. And even if they did, I am not going to embrace the spirit of a whisperer, because it's going to bring about separation. If God wanted me to know this particular thing, He could have told me about it. Yeah? So why am I listening to this? That doesn't mean you go around in life naive. You know, God can speak to you about all kinds of stuff in different ways. But there's got to be a witness in your spirit when you're coming from a place of a pure heart. So we need to be careful what we listen to. Be very careful. You know, you've heard me talk about how I shut down because I had heard something that somebody said about me and Mama, and we'd given our hearts, our lives, to minister to this person, and they had the effrontery to make such and such a statement. Well, is it true that that person made that statement? Did they really make that statement? Now, years after, I'm reflecting on that. They said so and so said such and such. Did they really? Or did somebody see that we were giving attention to this person and decided to separate by making a comment? And I bought into that lie. And why did I buy into that lie? Those are real things that we need to think about before you start going this way and that person going that way. Think. Think. Be very careful, because it might be the spirit of a whisperer that wants to separate chief friends. And that whisperer, watch this now, that whisperer can be the devil even speaking to you in your dreams. It's not everything that you dreamt about that you believe. Oh, I had a dream, and I saw this sister. Oh, she was flying with a broom. Oh, she must be a witch. Really? No. The word of God says test every spirit, because the devil is a whisperer. Demons are whisperers. They're not just people. And if you don't seal the time that you go to bed in prayer and have the hedge of the precious blood of Jesus Christ surrounding you and filtering everything that comes into your consciousness or your subconscious mind, you may find yourself in trouble. Hating people, thinking this person is this and that person is that, and so on and so forth. Now, God can speak to you. Yeah? God can speak to you. So you can always, always talk to God and say, God, you know that I'm a believer. And love believeth all things. So if you don't want me to believe something that is wrong, shield me from it. Because if I see it, I'm going to believe that that's the truth. Yeah? Okay, so protect my mind. Protect me, my spirit. Protect my intellect. Protect me from receiving wrong information and thinking that wrong information is the truth. Because the enemy's agenda is always to separate people. some of the people that have been a blessing to me in my life, almost were going to be people separated from me because of one thing or the other. And thank God I was able to arrest that mindset, and it flipped out for my good. Because that was not my enemy. That was a destiny helper. And the enemy can cause you to think that somebody who's called to be a destiny helper is your problem. You know, I don't know how many people have been identified as of the devil, especially in the African community. You know, oh, your mother is a witch, or this person is this, and that person is that, and this is the person that's causing you all the troubles in your life. Now, it could be true, but you find out for yourself by communicating with God, not living life based on the flesh. Because if you live life based on the flesh, deceptions, lies will creep up and mess everything up. And that's not what we want in our lives. Verse 29 goes on and says, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into a way that is not good. A violent man enticeth his neighbor. Now, those two things don't seem to be working together. A violent man enticeth. Enticement doesn't have anything to do with violence. But the description of God here about a violent man enticing his neighbor, influencing his neighbor, seducing his neighbor, is that the ultimate purpose of that is to violently take them out of their destiny. That's what the violence is about. You've been removed from your destiny, removed from your sense of purpose by enticing. I'm sure you might have heard me say this, tell this story. He was not a bad person by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I believe he loved the Lord, and he's gone home to be with the Lord now. Anyway, I was pastoring just down the street here. A church in Mackenzie, a church called Albright, they're now on the perimeter. And I was going through some financial situations. And this young man was living with us. He'd lost his wife in an accident. And things were really tough. He couldn't go back to his house. So we took him in. We were living on Dufferin at the time. Imagine, you know, taking somebody in and you yourself didn't have much. So we took him in, and we were driving one day, and finances were tough. Couldn't walk in Canada, at least not legally. And so we're living basically by faith. And things had changed, and I started working at Albright Church. They were paying. And he was a church member. I was his pastor. And he asked me a question. He said to me, do you tithe? I said, of course I do. He said, that's your problem. He says, that's your problem. You're tithing. That's your problem. God knows that you need the money. Stop tithing. And everything will be okay. I didn't tell him that I was going to do what he said. I'm the one who's supposed to know better. So that next week, I didn't tithe. And that next week, everything in my house had fallen apart. The enemy had come in and was violently destroying stuff. I had to repent before God, cry out to God, say, forgive me. I shouldn't have, you know, he didn't know that I'd listened to his instruction or guidance or whatever. I knew. And God wanted to correct that mess right away because he knew my future. He knew what he needed to do, and he knew that I needed certain foundational principles established solidly entrenched in my spirit. And if the enemy captures me in this particular way, that would be a derailing of my future. If the enemy had succeeded, we won't even be in this building. So, things were messed up. I cried out to God. My washing machine that was toast, I laid hands on it and prayed. And God fixed it. You see, people who don't honor God with their giving think they're getting away with something. But everybody tithes. I don't care who you are. Everybody tithes. Everybody. So what do you mean by that? Well, you either give it willingly or the enemy will come as a devourer to get it. Everybody. So I'd rather give it to God and have the benefit of his blessings than hold on to it. And the Bible says there's the one that withholds more than he needs to, and it brings about destruction. The violence of the enemy. I was enticed, I was influenced by a thought, and I was in the place where I could receive that enticement because I was already struggling, and that's what the enemy looks for. He tries to find the perfect time to mess with you and just screw everything up. And what we need to do is to be always on guard. Guard your heart, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Issues as resources of life, or issues as problems of life. Out of your heart. Every man is enticed and tempted based on what's in their heart. So when you're going through a temptation or particular things are happening around you, you must ask yourself this question. What is happening with me right now? Why is it that this is an issue right now? Even in the Lord's temptation, there were issues. Issue number one, he's hungry. Yeah? What does the enemy link it to? His destiny. His destiny. He's a son of God. God was well pleased with him. If God is well pleased with you and you're the son of God, you're hungry, turn these stones, make them bread. Ah. Did he come for the world? He came to save the world, right? So what does the devil offer him? Your temptation is always connected to what you are looking for in life. It is. It's not like what you're looking for is bad. It's how the enemy wants you to get it. It's not that it's bad to work. It's the emphasis that the enemy wants to place on that work for you to think, I did it my way, I got it in my own power and all of that. That's the problem. On the flip side, you cannot go around and say, well, it's all about me giving. I give this and I give that and I give this and I give that. That's how I'm going to be blessed. No. You cannot separate giving from the direction of works. The Word of God says, let him work so that he can have seed. Yeah? So if you're not working, where are you getting seed from? Well, we also know that your seed doesn't just come from your work. The Word of God says God multiplies your seed sown. So God is always engaged and God is always involved. And when the violent man comes, he separates you from God. The God equation or part or quotient in that relationship is sidetracked. That's when you know we've got an issue here. Where is God in this? Where is God in this? We want to make a decision about doing this, and so on and so forth. The question we must ask ourselves is, where is God in this decision we're trying to make? There is God in it. Because if he's not represented and if he's not at the core of it, we've got problems. It's acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and he then will direct your path. So if you are on a path, but you've not acknowledged the Lord, you must question what that path is all about. Because there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is destruction. Is that what we learned? Yeah, in verse 24, I believe it was. Okay, so God has to be right there, or 25. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So God has to be at the center of it. God has to be at the center of it. Because if God is not at the center of it, all you have is violence. Okay. Now, he says he shutted his eyes to devise forward things. Shut his eyes to devise forward things. In other words, the lights are flashing, danger, 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 danger. He shuts his eyes to it. You know, it's a guy whose dashboard is flashing red. And he gets an electric tape and covers it. So because the light is no longer flashing, you don't have an engine problem anymore. I don't see it. La, 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 la. Yeah. He shuttered his eyes to devise forward things. Proud. God is showing, but you're not listening. Just want to go ahead. He says, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Stuck in evil. Spitting out evil. He says he bringeth evil to pass, moving his lips. He bringeth it to pass. What is that? You see, evil, let me put it this way, evil is like stuff shelved in his store. And so is good. And you have to make the decision of picking the good or picking the evil. And you pick the good or pick the evil by what you say in your from your mouth. And what you say from your mouth is based on what you have fed yourself as an individual. Because your mouth is going to speak out of the abundance of your heart. The mouth is going to speak. And if evil is what's on the inside, it is going to attract evil. Period. Evil is going to attract evil. You know, many times we're shocked, you know, when we think about the politics in the land. We're shocked at how people act and what they do and what they propose they're going to do. And you think, what's wrong with these guys? How can you're a grown guy and you're saying this? How are you coming up with this? Do you have a daughter? I've got a daughter. So you want your daughter to be using the same washroom with a guy who says that he's a girl? You'd be fine with that. And if she gets raped, you'd be fine with that. Oh no, I'm not be fine with that. I'll sue. I will this. I will that. No. You don't have the right to do that. You really don't. Because you set up that situation. You set it up, so live with it. Why is it that you have a different rule for yourself than for me? The world is swirling because people shut their eyes to devise forward things. They shut their eyes. Can't believe it. But that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. You want to put some guy in jail because they did drugs, and you say it was okay for them to do marijuana and you can sell it everywhere because you want to make some money. Now the guy is a drug addict. He's on your streets. So I'm going to find a house. I'm going to build a house for him to stay. He can't stay there. His mind is messed up. Evil, 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 evil. I was at a school function earlier today to watch my granddaughter doing their stuff. And while I was there, I saw so many kids that were autistic. I said, what's going on? Autism, all over the place. And I was telling my son, I said, I don't know what's going on. You know, he said, oh, right across this school over here, lots of them like that. I said, what's going on? He said, I think it is this COVID stuff. They were injecting people with all kinds of stuff, and I think that's what's creating this problem. I don't know whether that's true or not, but these things are not just happening. These things are not just happening. Somebody is trying to make money when they know that whatever it is that they are putting in people's foods is going to create problems. And they do it because they just want the money. Money, money, money. So how much money do you want? What's going to make you happy? The government wants it, the businessman wants it, pharmaceutical companies, they want it. You know, everybody wants their portion. And the common man is messed up. Evil all over. Government doesn't want me to preach the gospel because if I say certain things, it's hate crime. So the Bible has become a hate book. Can you imagine? No, the devil's a liar. The gospel is going to be preached. The truth is going to be proclaimed. You want to throw me in jail? Have your time. When I get there, I'll still be preaching. You just have your time. But maybe you might put me in jail, and after you put me there, I walk out. It has been done before. Didn't they put Peter in prison and he walked out? Well, with the resurrected life, you can go through walls. There's no distance. So what? I'm going to be afraid of you? Are you serious? In what world? No. If he delivers me, great. If he doesn't, still, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. You're not going to shut me up. You know, the reality is this. The devil wants to dig up stuff on every one of us. And I tell you what, you can dig up whatever it is you want to dig up on anybody. On anybody. It's just a matter of interpretation. This is what we believe you said. No, I didn't say that. Yeah, but that's what you meant. No, I didn't mean that. But that's what we say that you meant. Don't you agree? Don't you agree? Yes, I agree. Okay, you're going to jail. You can dig up anything about anybody. I like part of how I pamper myself. Yes, I sit down and have my nails done, my feet scrubbed and stuff, get a good massage. I'm fine. But if somebody wanted to make that a story, they can go and say, ah, effeminate. Oh, men don't. No, men don't do that. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Oh, you got a massage? Yeah, so what? Oh, who was massaging you? A guy? Yeah. Oh, a guy was massaging you? Oh, you must be homosexual. And if it's not that, a girl was massaging you. A girl? Huh? Oh, my Lord. An adulterer! Can you imagine? Jesus is sitting down there. This woman comes and starts wiping his feet. Oh. These things don't just happen. These things don't just happen. The woman just came. They must have a relationship. They must have, oh yes, we got it. The devil is such a liar. So it's not everything that you hear that you believe. Because anybody can twist anything to become anything they want it to be. Do you understand? So don't buy into foolish stories. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The evil was not there, it was up in the shelf over there. Moving lips, psh, oh yeah, there it is. And I think this is the last verse. The hoary head is a crown of glory. Oh, we still have another one. Two more? Ay, ay, ay. Maybe I should stop. Yeah, I'll stop. Because I'm averaging about 2-3 verses. And that is just creeping through the surface. There's so much in the book of Proverbs. It's, but we can be thankful that we can learn and grow in His grace. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that you are here with us, that you are our keeper. And Lord, O God, that daily you lead us in the path of righteousness for your namesake. We're asking, O God, that we be led, truly led, for your namesake, that your name may not be dragged to the mud because of any actions or decisions that we make, but that, Lord, O God, that we consistently are acknowledging you, submissive to your leading, to your guidance, and choosing the path of righteousness that glorifies your holy name. Father, establish us in the spirit of truth, and may our lives honor you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege granted us, O God, to live life to the full, living fulfilled. And Lord, O God, we commit, O God, the next crusades to you, conferences, O God, that we are going to be engaged in. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Sovereign, that the resources necessary be brought into our hands so, Lord, O God, that we can do what we need to do and see lives forever changed. We give you praise that it is so done. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for your time this evening in the study of the Word of God. Friday is going to be prayer meeting. And I know the Lord will be with us, will show us how we have to address issues that He brings to line, in line for us to pray about. And of course, Sunday will be our regular service time in the morning and in the evening.